The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's turn our attention quickly to our CNC3 senior reporter, business reporter, that is, Andrea Perez-Subas. Andrea, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, David.
Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning to you, Andrea Perez-Sobers, our business reporter here on CNC3 and, of course, the Guardian Media Platforms. We're talking this morning not on the diplomatic tensions arising out of the geopolitical landscape that is existing before us, but let's talk about the success of the Tobago Carnival. Were you there by chance?
No, I was not. I was here working hard, because that week was the issue with Nutrien, with their controlled shutdown. So yeah, so I was here trying to deliver the news to the public,
But let's talk a little bit about Nutrien, as you mentioned it, right? I mean, there was an article that said a few weeks back that we had to send home 600 persons, right? There was a threat. Then the very next day, I think one of the ministers says, the minister talked about resolving the issue. It almost appeared as overnight, and then we heard further afield that wasn't the case. Based on the fact that you were covering that story, can you share some insight as to what is exactly taking place between Nutrien and these port fees?
Well, for now, with the 600 workers that we had originally reported, now that they have a controlled shutdown, it's only 350 so far. But I mean, if this shutdown remains permanent, it can mean that 600 workers will be on the breadline. But for now, it's only 350. So what has happened is that the National Energy Corporation has wrote to Nutrien telling them that they had to pay the US $28 million retroactive fees for the port. But they are saying that they did not want to pay that. So hence why they went to the court to have an injunction brought against National Gas Company and the National Energy Corporation Company so that they could still operate. But when I spoke to the chairman of NGC, Gerald Ramdean, he had said that they went to court. Let's say Nutrien filed the injunction on the Monday evening, and on the Tuesday they went to court. NGC and National Energy Corporation, they went to court, and then, well, Mr. Ramdean told me that they squashed it and they came to an agreement about the situation, and he would have allowed them to work out until December 31st, 2025, and then they would have their discussion. So I asked him what happens after December 31st, and he says, well, that's where they're going to have negotiations happening the week after. But then everything just turned, because they couldn't come to an agreement after, and National Energy Corporation sent out a very strongly worded release stating that Nutrien had to pay, and they've been paying Peppercorn legacy fees for a long time, and they're holding NGC to ransom, and they're holding people who get CO2 from them to ransom. And yeah, so right now, well, nothing is happening with them. Dr. Munilal, the energy minister, had said that dialogue is supposed to still happen, but we have not heard anything as yet as to what is really going on now that they are closed. What has happened is, because this has been a rippling effect for Nutrien, for many customers who take CO2, like Massey Gas. So Massey Gas and Proman has signed, well, Proman has decided to take Massey Gas on so that they could supply CO2 to them as well. And I guess a lot of other manufacturers who get CO2, well, who used to get CO2 from Nutrien are now going to try to go with Proman as well for the interim. And, well, let's see how this goes.
But wasn't this monitored for years? From your understanding, who controls these ports?
Well, it's the government.
Right. So that will mean the past administration would have known of these alleged peppercorn fees that they were being, that was being paid by Nutrien to the port. The port is saying best international standards, that is that fee that you're all paying, you all that is substandard. You all need to come up to the times now, cost of living increasing, different things increasing, and you all need to pay a little more. And is it that a Nutrien was pushing back against this? But wasn't this looming all the time? Why didn't the past administration or anyone seek to, is it that this administration, this government did that, or does the port operate independently with the board and they decide what happens next?
Well, what happens is that it falls under National Gas and National Energy and Corporation. So they help run the port, the estate, for the energy companies, right? Like Proman, like Nutrien, and those kind of likes. So I think what has happened is with this new chairman, he probably, because he said when in an interview with me, he was brought on to make NGC and National Energy more viable. So I guess when he and his board members were watching various operations within their remit, they realized that Nutrien is not paying the amount that they are supposed to pay at this time. And they were left at the peppercorn legacy fees, as what they are saying.
All right. So the pushback is really Nutrien's refusal to pay updated fees, as it were, port fees, in order to continue doing business. How can the minister, in your learned and opinion, how can the minister intervene now, the ministry, and bring this debacle to arrest? How can the ministry do this? What might be needed right about now?
Well, I guess they will have to talk about the way forward, because Nutrien is a big player in terms of our economy, still suffering from this foreign exchange crunch, and they bring in foreign exchange to the country. So they not only do CO2, they are also ammonia and methanol, that kind of thing, and methanol. So I think the minister needs to, he says that dialogue is continuing. So let's hope that things are happening in the background, and that probably by later this week or next week, we can get something substantial, because we have run a story, and my colleague, Gisha Kaulesa-Alonso, last week, she spoke to many business chambers along with myself, and they're saying that we need to come to some sort of dialogue soon, to some common ground soon, because we don't want Nutrien coming out of the country. And how does that look for investors who want to come into the country? So we have to look at those two sides. So hopefully the energy minister is looking at all of that and the amount of money that Nutrien brings to our economy.
The way this is sounding is as though Nutrien can hold us to ransom, threatening to pack up and close up over 40 years of work relations in Trinidad and Tobago. The fallout of that could be catastrophic, as a lot of persons will be on the breadline and our economy will be unstable. We would not be able to sustain it, especially it will be a huge blow to our energy sector. Now, with this being said, Nutrien can it be said that Nutrien can hold us to ransom, even though there's an intervention by the ministry to mitigate these challenges between the port fees that they are asking for these increases and Nutrien refusal and wanton position of paying the peppercorn prices? Can they hold us to ransom?
Yes, they can. Because, you see, they are a Canadian company and they're not just in Trinidad. They are in the U.S. and different places, well, obviously Canada. So to me, their first stance when the entire thing started happening, it sounded to me like Nutrien was like, well, if you all don't try to bring this common ground, we could pack up and go because we don't really need Trinidad. And that was the kind of head that they were pushing at first. But then, I guess, sense prevailed with both sides and they sort of calmed down and tried to, well, as the Vice President Edmund Thompson is saying, because I see that today we actually have a story on it done by Kijan Haynes, and he says, still no resolution to Nutrien port fees dispute, right? Said during an all-staff meeting yesterday, Vice President and Managing Director Edmund Thompson told employees the company remains engaged with the government to reach a mutually agreeable position. In the meantime, permanent staff remain employed. Mm-hmm. Contracted staff have been reduced because the plants are no longer operational, leaving less work available. Some contracted workers, however, remain on site.
That's true.
The 350 are contracted workers.
Now, with that being said, I mean, that paints a very damn. I'm very happy that you all were able to get some insight that Nutrien is actually letting good sense prevail. You know, we understand only have the monopoly on us at this time. However, these port fees are important to our sustainability, especially port sustainability, with workers having to be paid, fees going up in maintenance, and all these different things that play an integral part in the fees. One has to wonder why the past administration did not, why former Minister of Energy Stuart Young did not get involved in this and try to at least gradually, just like how we just raised minimum wage gradually, put on a $2 here, $2 there, we could have gradually have a gradual step up, grade up, so to speak, in terms of port fees. And by now, we'd have reached a state where the newly installed chairman, because he has his challenges and he has a mandate, and we had to understand that. All right? So let's turn our attention quickly over to the sister isle, you know, as it relates to the economy in Tobago. Now, Tobago is saying today that the carnival was a success. All right, it boosted the economy over on the sister isle. What are your thoughts?
Well, from all the images that I have been seeing, which is, well, from us, from Guardian Media and CNC3, it looked like it was a success. But the question is how many tourists are going to the Tobago Carnival? It looks like their carnival is being sustained by us. And because I saw a few tourists, but it wasn't very large, like how for our carnival, for Trinidad Carnival, you would see like them in groups in different carnival bands or even in different fetes. So I did not really see that. I spoke to a few friends who went there, and they also went to the fets, and they said that they were hardly seeing much tourists there. So the question is it sustainable? Are they doing a lot more to market the carnival internationally?
Now, when we look at... Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's the question.
Now, when we look at what is taking place, I'm glad you mentioned that. You said their carnival and our carnival, right? I always had a problem with that, and maybe you can share some insight. Your personal opinion or thoughts on it as well as a senior reporter. Looking at the carnival that happens in the early part of the year, February, March, in some instances, It is branded as the greatest show on earth, Trinidad and Tobago's Carnival. So it's not a Trinidad Carnival, it's Trinidad and Tobago. Help persons to understand this breakaway Tobago Carnival now. What's the difference between Tobago's Carnival as opposed to Trinidad and Tobago's Carnival, even as it relates to our economy?
Well, many of the Tobago secretaries has said the reason why that they sort of did this branding for Tobago Carnival is to help with revenue coming in. They thought that it would have been better. And with Trinidad Carnival, and this is not my words, this is one of the Tobago secretary's words, is that the spotlight is on Trinidad. Everybody comes to Trinidad for the carnival, and then after they come to the cool down in Tobago, right, to relax and that kind of thing. So they saw it important to have their own Tobago Carnival, because at that time they think that more people will pay attention. You will have more money at that time. You could go to the fets and that kind of thing. So that's why they sort of differentiated. But they said it's not that they don't like the fact that we have Trinidad and Tobago Carnival, which is between February and March, but they wanted their own identity, and that's why they chose in October to bring people more to the island and to experience the island. Because when they come for Trinidad Carnival, well, Trinidad and Tobago Carnival, the tourists only come for the last lap. So they only spend a day or two on the island, as opposed to if they have their own carnival, like now, they spend more time on the island, and I guess will boost revenue coming in to the island.
All right. Thank you so much for that. THA is also set for elections coming up. Can changes affect the economy?
That's a tricky question.
If there's a change from the THA secretary, Fally Augustine, and somebody else gets the governance, would that affect the economic stability and sustainability of the island of Tobago?
Well, you see, it depends in terms of, well, I know that PNM, it's usually between PNM and, well, this party that Watson Duke formed, which Fally Augustine is now part, which formed the THA, but they had a breakaway. It's kind of hard. PNM always wanted, well, I heard Ansel Dennis just last week stating that if they come back into governance, what are some of the changes they will make? The economy, he said, is going to run better. He was saying at the time, many things that are now on the back burner of Tobago's economy will not be on the back burner, especially a lot of infrastructure that has been, as he says, neglected for some time. So it's between, I know that there are two other parties involved in Tobago, but I don't really hear them talking out too much as yet. I don't know if it's too early, but to see if they are actually going up in the running for this election. But I know that Ansel Dennis and the PNM in Tobago are gearing up to this. So let's see how it will fare. Because this current THA seems to be very good with central government. And they were very happy that they got the largest budget allocation of $3.724 billion, which was a 6.3% of the budget, of our budget. So I think they seem to have a synergy going on. And yeah, so let's see what will go on. Our correspondent, Elizabeth Gonzalez, she is on the ground in Tobago, and she, in the upcoming days, will be doing a lot of speaking to stakeholders, speaking to people on the ground, as to if they think that this current THA still have a chance in the elections, or if there's going to be a change of the tide, as people see.
All right.
Murray, good morning. Were they really trying to think of our electric boy, but after 6 months, they're now coming to give Penny congratulations?
All right. So with that being said now, let's talk about the economic reality of our budget. I mean, you would have been paying attention as a business reporter. What is the business chamber saying to you, you guys these days? What's the latest on that front as it relates to, especially with this energy fallout with Nutrient now, the geopolitical tensions rising between the infamous three, because it's now Trinidad and Tobago, U.S. government, and Venezuela. We're in a triangle right now. What is the business sector saying to you this morning? What's the update?
In terms of the Venezuela impasse?
Yes.
Well, I did a story on today's Tuesday. So it was in the Tuesday paper where the various chambers were saying that they're hoping that there's some kind of diplomacy and calm that could happen, because with this constant tension, it can affect our investment. Mm-hmm. And this situation that the president, Nicolas Maduro, has signaled the suspension of the gas, any gas agreement, also is very telling, because we said that we were happy, well, the government had said that they were happy with the granting of the OFAC license, and now the country can't do anything without OFAC license, because the president and the vice president has suspended that gas agreement, any gas agreement that we have with them. So the chambers are hoping that some sort of common ground and dialogue happens between them, because it's not good for our economy. The prime minister said that Venezuela gas is not the buy all and end all, but then what is it? Where else are we going to get? So all of that needs to happen, and that's what some of the chambers expressed. You know, if not Venezuela gas, then what are we going to do next? Does that mean that some of the U.S. Companies, energy companies, are going to step in to help us, seeing that we seem to have that collaboration with the U.S.? What does that mean? So all of that, you know, but like the major players like BP and Shell and these players are not really seeing anything at this time, because they see it. I spoke to a senior official from BPTT, and he said, you know, they're not getting into the geopolitics, so they wouldn't be saying anything at this present time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that are in the works that they are doing, and they are continuing to do. I asked if it was in Venezuela waters, the official said no.
What? It's not in Venezuela waters?
No. A project that they are currently working on.
Oh, okay. Understood. Yes. With respect to Nutrient, can Trinidad not seize the property and sell it off to get back the money? It's like, we're not doing anything. I mean, that property that Nutrient is occupying, one texter is asking if we can't seize it, if they decide to pack up and leave shop. Oh, that shouldn't be the question, you know. If Nutrient decides that they no longer want to operate in Trinidad and Tobago and they decide to leave, the plan that is currently there, can we invite another company in to extract the ammonia and methanol that we have?
Well, that would be a question for, well, the authorities like NGC chairman, to answer, because I don't know what was the agreement in terms of those plants, because they've been here for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that is possible. When I spoke to Mr. Ramdean on this whole thing, and I said, well, you know, if they pack up shop, what does that mean for Trinidad? And he's like, well, we're not going down that road yet. We're trying to do everything civil. And so I will have to find out that, because I don't want to pronounce on,
well, that,
I don't know how, what their plans. Yeah.
And I thank you very much, Andrea. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I mean, that could be some little home lesson there, man. You could find out.
Yes,
what the possibilities
are. I'll find out for you.
Yeah, I'm looking out for a story on that. You know, what are our options? Because we cannot allow a company, we should not be in a position where a company has the dominating monopoly on us and they refuse to pay the port fees that is international standards. It's not just we increasing our price like on you. I mean, as it was mentioned, Bipepaco, you're just paying a little bit of money and making millions in profits. So if we ask for a little increase over the years, 40 years, you would have been paying a particular price. Okay, 40 years later, you want to pay the same price? I mean, we had to let good sense prevail. So I'm hoping that the management of Nutrien reach a consensus where they understand our position. And if push come to shove, I would love to know, and from you in the future, as to what our options are. Is it that they're going to rack up the plant and we go see a desolated ground zero and have to put up new infrastructure, or is the infrastructure belonging to the government of this country, operated by you? And if you leave the plant and you go your way, we just bring personnel in and we start going again. All right, food for thought.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Andrea.
You're welcome, Davey, and goodbye to your listeners as well.
Yes, we'll talk again soon, maybe next week. Have a good one.
You too, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.